Football systems check. Microphone.
Check. Record enabled.
Kate.
Check.
Michelle.
Check. All systems go. I repeat, all systems go.
We got a problem.
Copy. We have ball blast. I repeat, we have ball blast.
Ew.
We're a little late on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Only a little bit.
Only a little bit.
Time is a subjective topic.
Yeah. But what did you do last week?
Last week I got very busy. So we were supposed to record and release this episode last week, but I'm a procrastinator, and I was finishing up my chapters for the Fantasy Football Black Book put out by Joe Pisapia. So excited. The crew is absolutely amazing. I'm in some great company. I'm the first woman to ever be published in the Fantasy Football Black Book.
Woo woo!
So excited. But yeah, I had to work on that all week. I could not breathe.
Only been told to do this like for months now. Only for months.
January. I checked the email.
Only 4 months.
Shout out to Joe. That book's going to be released June 1st. I can't wait. You know I'll be tweeting it out because I'm so excited. Hope I gave some decent advice.
Well, last week we were supposed to finish up our rookie wide receivers. Discuss those. So most of the second round wide receivers we did not get to yet. And then we're going to hit on some rookie quarterbacks to close out the show. And we're just going to talk about like how we view them in 2020 and then how we view their future in the NFL. So a little bit of redraft, a little bit of dynasty all in one.
I love it. Should we get into some news?
Let's do it.
It's just in.
Breaking news.
Ben Roethlisberger got his hair cut and trimmed his beard.
That is very exciting news.
That is like the biggest news of these past 2 weeks, and it's not really a joke. There's not much out there. But I do think it's actually pretty big news for the reason why he got the haircut. So he just posted this hype video, and it showed him like, a year ago being like, I'm not getting my haircut or shaving my beard until I can throw a ball to my teammates, like a real ball, a real pass, like actually in practice. And he did that.
He probably should have come out with that last year because we've just all wondered why he looks like a grizzly bear.
Yeah, it made a lot more sense to me now. But he was able to get on the field. He was throwing passes to Connor, to Juju, to Ryan Switzer, actual like long passes. And he looked good. So then he went and got a haircut afterwards and shaved his beard.
But didn't cut off the beard.
No, but it looks
trim.
Good.
It looked better.
But that's really big news. So he's throwing the rock. He's throwing the ball. Remember when Andrew Luck could just throw like a small ball in like August?
And we all rejoiced.
Yeah. And now it's not even June and he can actually just throw a normal sized ball. He looks good. I'm sure there's a lot more rehabbing to happen. But if you're worried about Big Ben coming back next year and all those pieces in the offense, this should make you feel a little bit better.
It should. And if you've got like Ben Roethlisberger in a dynasty startup or something this year, you bought him at his absolute floor.
Yeah, and you're still going to be able to do that in redraft.
And let's remember, he was the quarterback 3 the last time he actually played a season of football. Yep. So he's definitely going to be one of the best values, I think, of 2020.
He is. No and another guy that could be a huge value on that same offense is James Conner. So Mike Tomlin this past week has come out to say if like James Conner is a featured guy and a proven runner when healthy. And he says, I like to use a featured guy. Like, I'm going to keep using him. We already know that. I don't know why this is some
I feel like
news.
We have this debate every offseason, and we're like, do they want to use a featured back? We all know they use a featured back.
They're going to use James Conner as long as he's healthy. He did say in there, Snell can be a capable James Conner type of guy if Conner is unavailable. So meaning, like, he's not going to see the field unless James Conner's
also,
not available.
James Conner posted some very athletic and healthy-looking photos. I don't know if you saw those.
Yeah.
I mean, his abs are quite large.
This backfield's 100% James Conner. You're going to get him super cheap in any draft, redraft, especially in Dynasty. I love him for redraft. There's no chance. Like, we have no idea if he stays healthy or not, right? Like, I'm not going to go into the season and being like, we have to just trust he'll make it through a season. Most likely he won't, but his price is so low now. It's not
matter.
As risky. Like last year, he was going early second, and that's what killed you.
Yeah.
Is that if you took him and then he got hurt all year, he was the running back 6 in 2018 with
Ben
Roethlisberger.
Say now you're getting him like maybe in the 4th round. That's a huge value. Who else are you getting in the 4th round that or even that fifth. Sort of upside.
Yeah, no, he's a really good steal there. Another running back that, you know, we had some scares with injury. He was pretty healthy all last year, but that knee, is it going to hold up or not? Todd Gurley changed teams this year, right? And he signs
breaking with, news for anybody yeah, that hasn't
he
heard
he
that.
Signs with Atlanta, and then the Falcons OC Dirk Cutter just came out and said the main question with Todd Gurley is that no one seems to know is what is the health status. What?
What are you talking about?
What are you saying? What do
he
you mean?
He passed your physical.
But how are you not? What? Like what? How do you say that to the media is what I'm most concerned about. Like, you're the OC for a team. They're asking you things. You just signed him. You gave him a decent contract. And you're like, well, is he healthy? Is he healthy? Like, that just seems like a random thing to say.
I genuinely don't know how to feel about this.
Why would your team sign him if he wasn't healthy?
Yeah, other than the fact that Dirk Cutter is not a super smart human being. Like, I don't know why you're saying this. I don't, like...
What's up with these coaches, like, hating on the running backs after they get signed? I totally get it. You shouldn't be signing running backs to big deals, you know, especially...
Who else were you going to sign?
Yeah, like, and he didn't even get that big of a deal, so...
Isn't it a one-year deal?
Yeah.
Like, what... Okay, Dirk. Like, I
mean, I still think Todd Gurley is going to get... There's no one else in that backfield, so I think he gets all the workload. We saw his knee hold up, and he did struggle behind the Rams' offensive line, but I think that's what it was. It was the Rams' offensive line. That whole offense kind of struggled.
And they definitely utilized the running back differently. Like, we were doing some digging on, like, the positional targets per team. Incredibly, the Rams were, like, at the bottom of the league in terms of targeting the running back, which is just kind of crazy because that's the narrative that we all have for Todd Gurley's value. And they didn't use him. I think they had a total of, like, 60 targets to the running back.
Yeah, and he should be used a lot in this Atlanta offense as a pass catcher. I'm excited for Todd Gurley to see how he does in another team. I don't expect, like, him ever to get back up to that top five running back status, but he could be top 12.
I definitely could see that, like a volume-based top 12 guy. But I do think that he's going to be more of a loner in terms of dynasty value. So if you're in a win-now situation, I don't mind going and buying Todd Gurley for this year, win your championship.
Next up, another backfield.
And so many backfields.
Are we? So this is
a
lot
wide receiver episode, Michelle.
There's a lot of coaches, though, talking about these backfields, and are we trusting them or not? So the Colts OC, Nick Sirianni? I'll never know how to say. I do not know how to pronounce names. Leave me alone. What?
Pronunciate?
What'd I say?
It's pronounce.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Why can't I say I don't know how to pronunciate names?
It's pronounce.
I'm just going to keep using my pronunciate because I don't care. And that's what I want to say. Moving on to the next backfield, like we were just talking about, the Colts backfield here. You know, the OC isn't giving us too much trust in Jonathan Taylor, his rookie season. He's saying it's a 1-1 punch between Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor. Normally you say 1-2 punch, but he's saying 1-1. They can both be used as running back ones.
And he just came out to say that he would not be surprised if Nyheim Hines finished a game with 10-plus catches.
Yeah, I mean, sure, one game. Like, what do you mean out of this? Like, someone misses time and he gets 10 catches. Like, what is, like, I could see him having one game with 10 catches. Well, what is he doing the rest of the game?
I will
then?
Say that I do think he's an interesting late-round best ball candidate.
Because of Phillip Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
Because he loves passing to his running back so much. What I'm hoping for is that Jonathan Taylor is the supreme talent, which we already know he is, and they use him in the passing game, and they just use him as a three-down back. That's probably wishful thinking his rookie season.
My hope is that I can buy Jonathan Taylor low.
Like mid-season when he's not being used as much? Yeah, that would be great. Because he's the one back I want as a rookie. Like, I really trust him. I mean, there's others. Like, I want Clyde Edwards and Zach
Wilson. Yeah, but I think that from a talent perspective, I think Jonathan Taylor is easily our running back one. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the offensive line that he's playing behind. Good Lord.
So do you trust this coach speak that Marlon Mack's still going to have this big role?
No.
So from week 9 on, I know he had his injury, but then he came back week 9. Week 9 on, he never saw more than 48% of offensive snaps.
That's not great, Chief.
No. And I feel like he was just another guy. He was behind one of the best offensive lines. We've already talked about this with Marlon Mack. Is when his backups came in, they were just as good. So it wasn't Marlon Mack that was so great, or could we bring in someone that's more talented and they can really make a difference?
That's what I think is sort of the determining factor here. So Marlon Mack looked good behind the best offensive line in fantasy football, or real football.
Yeah.
But so, like, if I have a good running back, I want him to look like a superstar behind an offensive line that talented, and he didn't.
I'm not buying it. I think maybe we have to wait a few games, but they're going to catch on that Jonathan Taylor, when he's in the game, the ball's moving, and the ball's moving better than when Marlon Mack is in the game. I trust him to get this big workload once we hit, like, midseason. It might be hard to trust Jonathan Taylor or anyone in this backfield in redraft, though.
The interesting thing, though, is that we hear sort of that same argument against CEH. We hear that Damian Williams will still be involved, but I feel like people don't seem to care as much about that.
Oh, because Damian Williams is garbage, and Marlon Mack at least is a decent player.
Whew!
All right, that's it for our new section. That's a way to end it. Let's go into let's finish up those rookie wide receivers we weren't able to hit. Now, if your guy's not brought up in this episode, go listen to our latest episode, our last one, because that's where we talked about all the first-round rookies. And a couple of these second-round rookies, like Mims and Claypool, are in the last episode.
Yeah, we talked a lot about Claypool.
We did.
Obviously.
Steelers girls. So let's hit on the first wide receiver in the second round. It was Clemson's wide receiver, T. Higgins. He goes to Cincinnati.
I really like this fit, actually. I like T. Higgins, and I think the fact that he's coming from a Clemson offense to the fact, like, I feel like translating from a Clemson offense to a quarterback like Joe Burrow, who's used to playing in a prolific college offense, I just feel like that's a great match. You've got A.J. Green, who I'm sorry, if he plays this year, like, what if he doesn't sign his franchise tender?
I have no idea what to do with AJ Green.
I don't know what he's going to do.
Does he make it the whole season anyways? He's almost 32 years old. He hasn't played in quite a while now, like a full season, so.
But this is the guy that I do think is going to be the next long-term asset in Cincinnati. They're, I do think there's something to be said for bringing in that rookie quarterback to be your future, bringing in a wide receiver to pair him with immediately, right off the bat.
And the things that we said about some of these wide receivers was, okay, did they produce so well because they were in great systems with a great quarterback? Like, T. Higgins got to play with Trevor Lawrence. Well, now he gets to play with Joe Burrow. So it's not really a step down.
Yeah.
Maybe it is, but I don't think so. Like, I think they're pretty equal talent-wise there. No, Cincinnati Bengals as a franchise and as an offense, we'll see how they can click together. I think it might take some more time than just this year. So, no, it's really hard to trust rookie wide receivers in redraft. And T. Higgins probably isn't one of those guys I'm going to trust. But he is basically just A.J. Green.
Yeah.
He's his perfect replacement. He's just, like, 11 years younger than A.J. Green. They're the same size. They're both 6'4". A.J. Green's 211 pounds, T. Higgins 216 pounds. They both have big hands. They both are just really good body control, and they're really smooth at catching the ball. Now, T. Higgins, he had 3.67 yards per route run in 2019 in Clemson. That was only ranked him behind CeeDee Lamb in this wide receiver class.
Pretty impressive.
And we love CeeDee Lamb, so I'm really excited about T. Higgins. I think he's a perfect fit to grow with Joe Burrow, and it might take till 2021 to really see that fantasy impact, but I'm excited for it.
In terms of, like, your rookie dynasty leagues, your rookie drafts and dynasty leagues, T. Higgins is going in the second round, which it's absolutely astounding to get a guy with, I think, the upside of T. Higgins when, like, look what's going in front of it. There are some major dart throws that I trust a little less in terms of their floor than I do T. Higgins.
Yeah, T. Higgins is dropping, and I really don't get why. I don't mind the offense he's going to. There's not a ton of competition. Like we said, maybe...
Well, the weird thing is people use the offense as a plus for Joe Mixon, and then they use the offense as a plus or a minus for T. Higgins. And it doesn't go both ways.
Yeah, and like we mentioned, A.J. Green, he's not signed to that contract extension. He can be cut for $0 dead cap. and hasn't been a top-tier wide receiver since 2015. So if the Bengals do keep him...
2015?
Yeah. So if the Bengals do keep him, it's probably on a one-year deal, and we'll see if he signs that franchise tag. But
yikes.
And if not, then it's T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. And then you have to compete against Auden Tate.
John Ross. John A.
How bad is it that I thought about Auden Tate before John Ross?
Pretty bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I like this situation. I do, but I think with a rookie quarterback, it's going to take some time for any of the wide receivers in that offense to really be great.
He is definitely a candidate that I think you'll be able to buy lower on even next season than maybe you can right now, because I don't see 2020 being his year. I don't see that being his breakout year.
I do think more he's a guy to keep an eye out on and redraft midseason. Like we always say that rookies like start to look at him midseason. Like AJ Brown didn't break out till midseason. DK Metcalf didn't really have his true breakout till midseason. Maybe you want to be a couple weeks ahead of everyone, but drafting them, you're most likely going to drop them before they break out.
You drafted Marquise Brown, but like can we I wish I had the actual stats to see how many people had him in a starting lineup.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it had to be 0.0% of fantasy owners. By the time they actually prove something, they're generally dropped from your team. So take that last round pick, utilize it on maybe another veteran asset who does have the chance to break out. Somebody, you know, a buy low opportunity with upside, you know, maybe somebody with that break in the offense that they can make.
Yep. And we'll be talking more about strategy with drafting once it gets closer to draft season. Moving on to the second guy drafted. He actually went at the 202 right behind T. Higgins. Michael Pittman Jr. from USC. He went to the Colts. Surprise? Did you think they were going to take another wide receiver? They did draft Paris Campbell in the second round last year.
I think that was sort of my bigger surprise. I was surprised they took a wide receiver this early. They did, I believe, had 2 second round picks, if I'm not mistaken. But I was sort of surprised. I do think that there's definitely room in that offense. You let go of Eric Ebron. He's not coming back. T.Y. Hilton's an old man.
Yeah.
So, like, you do have to start building for the future at some point, even though... I don't know. I feel like there are mixed messages in Indy because you signed Phillip Rivers, which is sort of a win, presumably a win now move.
I don't mind it because your defense is already pretty solid. You get Rivers, a big-bodied wide receiver. You got him a big running back already, so let's get him a big-bodied wide receiver. 6'4", 223 pounds. Big boy. He was very productive at USC in 2019. He had over 60 receiving yards in 9 of his 13 games. That's very good, including 5 games over 100 yards. Very That's productive. Awesome. Overall, he had nearly 1,300 receiving yards and 11 touchdowns on the season. It was a better offense, so you know those numbers might look better than they actually are, but you're getting a guy that's been productive in college, really big guy for Rivers to target. Now, my concern is, does Rivers still have it? Like, we saw Mike Williams get drafted super early with the Chargers, and he just never really knew how to use him.
The issue was that he tried. He definitely tried. I think Mike Williams, I want to say, ranked top 10 in air yards. So that means Phillip Rivers is giving him the ball down the field. He's just not putting in a place where either Mike Williams can catch the ball or, like, they just didn't have that sort of chemistry. But I think the issue that you have to look at is the fact that Mike Williams was that big-bodied guy for him. He played on the outside. He was that sort of chuck-it-up-down-the-field guy, and he didn't produce.
My biggest concern, right? Like, I would prefer...
By didn't produce, I know he had 1,000 receiving yards. Everybody stop yelling at me.
No, but he didn't produce the way we wanted
fantasy,
him to.
No,
yeah, especially for fantasy. And he had a lot of targets, and it seemed like they were always missing each other. Now, maybe Rivers has a better connection with Pittman. And Rivers is coming into this offense, right? And he doesn't have a connection with any of these guys. So a rookie could sneak in here to be his guy.
Oh, yeah.
But it could also be Paris Campbell from last year, also drafted in the second round. I'm not ready to throw him away yet. He was injured, like, pretty much the entire season.
Yeah, and the couple of games where he actually looked reasonably healthy, he was serviceable as a rookie. I do think that...
And he had to play with Brissett and then an injured Brissett. Like, it wasn't a great situation. It was one of those where I'm kind of just throwing it away. But then that means, does he get the targets? Does Campbell get the targets? Does Pittman get the targets? You know Hilton and Rivers is going to build a connection.
Yeah.
And then apparently Nyheim Hines is going to see 10, 10 receptions a game. And then you have, I feel like it's going to be run heavy with a good defense. I don't know if there's enough targets to go around in 2020. And then what happens in 2021? Who's their quarterback? Is it Jacob Eason?
Well, I do believe today they came out with a statement that says they hope Phillip Rivers will play for many years.
My eyes are rolling so hard.
Yeah.
He barely could play last year. Tell me how he's going to make it through three more years.
So Phillip Rivers last year was what I feel like most people look at Ben Roethlisberger as. Where, like, Roethlisberger was chucking the ball down the field, made some sick plays in 2018. He had 16 interceptions. It's no Jameis Winston, but he led the league in 2018. I do feel like there's this overall perception with Phillip Rivers that he can do no wrong, and that, you know, you put him behind a better offensive line, and that's the thing he's been missing his whole career.
Yeah.
And when you look at the weapons around him, I don't see it. Unless you're going to very heavily involve Jonathan Taylor, I don't get it.
And Jonathan Taylor, hopefully he's good in pass protection, because Marlon Mack is one of the worst in the league. Also a reason why I don't think he sees as much time, because good luck having a running back there that can't pass protect, and you have Phillip Rivers, who cannot run out of the pocket.
No, literally.
People want to make fun of Ben for his weight. I'm sorry, he can scramble better than Rivers. Rivers they cannot.
They literally, I think before the game, they actually put super glue on his shoes, and he's just like...
We'll see. We'll see. I could see Rivers failing miserably in this offense, but...
Out of curiosity, what are you willing to spend on Paris Campbell in terms of rookie picks for next year? Like, I feel like this is the prime buy-low opportunity because you are living out that Michael Pittman hype.
So I've actually done a couple offers for Paris Campbell over the last couple weeks. I sent a 2021 second for him. I traded for Paris Campbell for like a 306 this year during a draft. I was really pumped about that.
No way.
Yeah, super cheap. He's going so cheap. And then we in our league, in our Ball Blast Dynasty League, just traded Ronald Jones straight up for Paris Campbell.
Crazy, crazy trade for all of you Ronald Jones truthers. Where were you last year, by the way? It's just so funny, like, when draft season comes around and people are like, Rojo is so talented.
Yeah, people
Where
forget.
Where were you last year?
People forget how bad these players actually were in the season.
Oh, my God.
They just look at the total
narrative.
Ranking at the end, and they're like, but he was a top 24 running back. Now, I don't even know if Ronald Jones was. I think he squeaked in there.
I want to say it was like...
It was like, if you get carries in an offense and you play 16 games... And you're not a top 24 running back? That is so bad. Like, it's not that hard, guys. There's only 32 teams, 32 starting running backs, and then they get injured. So if you play 16 games and you get a lot of carries, you're going to be a top 24 running back. That's not impressive. That's not impressive.
I mean, you do want top 20. Like, let's not get it twisted.
You don't want the running back 24 that played 16 games. He did not help you whatsoever.
Agree. That's definitely the differentiation.
If you get running back 24 and he played like 7, 8 games, that means you probably picked him up off the waivers, or, you know, you didn't
have
to play him when he was injured.
That's Nick Chubb.
And then he was great during those games. You don't want the guy. You don't want David Montgomery from last year, basically.
No, although I do see some positive regression coming for David
Montgomery.
Yes,
that's for another time. Let's stick to the rookies.
Rookie wide receivers, not even running backs.
Yeah, rookie wide receivers. All right, moving on. So at the 210, round 2, pick 10, the Jacksonville Jaguars selected Laviska Shenault from Colorado. This guy has not been one of our favorites. We're not even going to lie. We watched his tape, and it's just like... You know,
part of my film grade is sort of like, how, like, do I feel the buzz when I watch this guy? And I didn't feel that buzz.
He seems very gadgety.
Yeah. Oh, I think he is like a technically proficient guy. I think that you can use him in multiple ways on the field, but.
I also feel like he has a very weird build, 6'1", 227. Like, that's a big boy. That's like a running back, basically. Like.
Well, and they did say that they were going to be inclined to use him in those gadgety ways, sometimes at running back, sometimes at wide receiver.
He's not like a super fast guy. He ran a 4.58. It's not slow, but it's not like blazing fast. He didn't produce all that great in Colorado, but it was Colorado. I mean, that passing offense wasn't thriving. They were struggling a bit, but he had 764 total yards, or 764 receiving yards, 4 touchdowns in 2019. it's fine. I feel like he's good after the catch. He can force missed tackles.
Which is why I think he's that good gadgety player.
I do think Cordarrelle Patterson kind of destroys our thinking about him. Like Cordarrelle. Patterson just kind of destroys our thinking there with him. I do think he'll be better than him, but in the Jacksonville offense,
what's the upside?
Yeah, DJ Shark broke out. I still think he's the dude there for the wide receiver one. I think this is great news for Shark.
Yeah.
Very good news, because I just don't see Chenault as that wide receiver one type. I don't know. He just seems very gadgety to me.
I would be interested. I actually haven't done the research myself, but to see what wide receiver profiles have that build, because you're right. That is a big, beefy man.
Yeah.
And I can't think of any wide receiver that I know of off the bat that has that sort of body type.
It's the same body type as Zeke. Like, that's what his body type gets compared to Zeke. Now, Zeke isn't going. I know they have probably different skill sets. They do have different skill sets. But it still would be weird to see Zeke's body out there running routes like that.
Yeah, when you're primarily used as a wide receiver. Like, Zeke is used as a running back who sometimes runs routes. But, like, a lot of his performance in the passing game is him sort of leaking out on routes, not specifically running from, like, the slot or specifically running on the outside. I don't know. I can't picture it. But you know what? I do think you're right in terms of what it does just to open up the offense in general, especially if they do use him in a gadgety kind of way, because you do want that player who can do a little bit of everything, mm-hmm. so that you're always making defenses second guess, what is this guy about to do? What role is this guy going to play?
They can probably get him more involved sooner than later, though, so we might see him actually putting up a little bit of numbers and being somewhat usable in fantasy quicker than these other guys. I just don't see the ceiling there for him, especially in Dynasty. Like, I haven't grabbed him in anything. And then, yeah, he's not going to be a guy I'm targeting in redraft, but I can see, like, him sitting on the waivers. In the first game, he, like, breaks off, like, a 35-yard run, and maybe gets a touchdown, scores 10 points, and we're all like, ooh.
With the gadgety sort of usage, would there be any inclination for you to draft LaVisca in a league that is very friendly towards special team scoring? Or no?
If we know for sure he's going to be doing special teams, sure, maybe.
Okay.
We don't play in any of those leagues, so it's hard to say, because I don't know, you know, how much it matters. You know, you're just staring at me. All right, moving on. The last pick, the last wide receiver to go in the second round was Van Jefferson.
And I like the pick.
Okay. You're going to have to tell me why.
You look very scared right now.
Well, anyways, Van Jefferson went to the Rams. He's from the University of Florida. Not very productive. Full 4 years in college. You know, he played through his senior year. Only 657 yards, 6 touchdowns in his senior year. I was shocked he went in the second round. I thought he was going to go late third, fourth round, earliest. You tell me why you like this pick by the Rams.
I was thinking closer to third round, but I think that I like this pick because there is so much potential in that offense. So I know it seems sort of crowded right now. You have Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Josh Reynolds. Are we thinking that Josh Reynolds is a thing?
Are we thinking Van Jefferson's just going to come in and be more of a thing than Josh Reynolds?
No, but we're talking about Dynasty. So when you're looking at that, like Gerald Everett, I believe he's entering a contract year. Tyler Higbee, he's there to stay, just saying. Cooper Kupp, I got to believe he's there to stay. I just think that there is opportunity waiting for him within that offense. And I don't think that you need to be that mega productive guy in college in a Sean McVay offense. If you're going to any other offense that doesn't have that sort of efficiency, like the 49ers, the Rams, not this year because they struggled there. But overall, I think the scheme could be a good fit for him. I do think that there's opportunity there. And I he's going late enough. He's going in the third round of rookie drafts. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you waste a pick on
him? I don't really love the talent. I mean, he couldn't do it in college. He was outpowered in college. Like, he wasn't strong enough to make plays, to beat defenders for contested catches in college. How are you going to do it in the NFL?
You lift weights. You put your butt in the gym.
Sure. Let's hope he does that. He's already 23 years old. Never broke out in college. Never had like a good year in college. Are you randomly going to break out at 23, 24 years old in the NFL when you couldn't do it at the college level? I don't feel good about it.
I don't feel great about it. But the thing about Van Jefferson is when I look at the potential for him to make a splash in that offense, like are any of us high on like a Josh Reynolds whatsoever?
No, but I do think Josh Reynolds will play more than Van Jefferson year one.
I think that's fair. But looking at the long-term haul, like when I'm looking at a third-round dynasty pick, I'm not generally thinking that this guy is going to be the one to produce this year.
I'm hoping that
this is going to be an asset that
and maybe he's off. The next Terry McLaurin, who didn't break out in college, and he came in at 24 years old and was great, but I think he's not. But definitely not an option for a redraft, right? Like, you're not even considering
him. I would not touch him in a redraft. Like, okay. I said, I would touch him in the third round of rookie drafts, which I have, just because I think that, like, the upside in a Sean McVay offense is that great. You don't even know if Cooper Kupp's going to be staying.
Yeah. I did take him in a dynasty league in the third round, and now I'm already trying to trade him for, like, anything. Like, I just don't want him. I don't know.
Give him to me. Okay. I will certainly take him.
You're not in that league. Moving on to quarterbacks, right? Let's talk about quarterbacks in fantasy. I think there's only three we need to talk about.
Yeah.
If any of the others end up breaking out or looking like they're going to take a job, we'll talk about them. But for right now,
the guys that I think could reasonably go in redraft leagues this year.
So the three guys that went in the first 10 picks, actually first six picks in the NFL draft.
Six.
Joe Burrow to Cincy, Tua Tagovailoa. Did I say that?
Wow, beautiful job.
To Miami.
Beautiful pronunciation.
To Miami. And then Justin Herbert to the Chargers. Let's start with Joe Burrow.
You got Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, I got him right.
It's Joe Burrow.
Let's start with Joseph Burrow.
Joseph.
What do we think about him? He's going to Cincy. He has decent weapons. Like Cincinnati, the offense he's not going into isn't trash.
It's not trash. I think they could have done a little bit more with the offensive line. They got a little help there, which is great. But I think that Joe Burrow was very clearly, when you look at his 2019 film, he was definitely the most pro-ready quarterback out of all these guys. He just looked polished. Like I feel like that's the best word to describe him. He looked...
My favorite thing was that he never looked razzled, dazzled, crazzled. He never looked that nervous. Like, there would be all this pressure on him.
He dazzled, but he didn't look razzled.
There'd be all this pressure on him. He could roll out of the pocket. He could run around, and the play was never going to be over.
And he still was staring downfield looking for the guy.
He's kind of like a Deshaun Watson, that type where you can never count him out on a play being over. Like, he will make a play happen, and sometimes he might, you know, do something stupid, but...
I think the question for me with Joe Burrow, especially in his rookie season, you know, with the Joe Mixon effect there, are they going to be more inclined to run the ball? Give Joe Burrow some room, give him some time to develop. I know we've talked about the possibility of Joe Mixon holding out, but what are the chances that they really just let him unleash the way that Cliff Kingsbury did for Kyler Murray? I don't see that happening.
Yeah, so Zach Taylor is the coach for the Cincinnati Bengals. He started last year. And with Andy Dalton, he threw the ball 528 times in 13 games. That's a pace for 650 times in 16 games. That's really high. That's really high. That was sixth most in passing attempts in the NFL. Maybe. I would expect that to go down, right?
With a rookie quarterback. But
Joe Mixon already had close to 300 carries. He had over 300 touches. I don't know how much more you can give him in that regard. Maybe you get Geo more involved. They did draft two running backs last year. Maybe they get them more involved. But I do think that Joe Burrow could have a lot of passing attempts in this offense year one. And you know what's the best about Joe Burrow? There's no like, ooh, is he going to start day one? Like, who's going to be the starter? Because cut Andy Dalton. Dalton's gone.
Which is so dumb. Like, yeah.
I mean, they needed to save money, but I would be surprised if they don't bring in some vet, but I don't think it's going to be a vet that could possibly even challenge Burrow for a starting job. It's just going to be to mentor him. So that's really nice that, you know, Burrow starting day one. He was absurdly absurd. Absurdly absurd in college.
And that's
good. In 2019, really only, because that was really his only year he broke out. But 5,700 yards, 60 touchdowns in 1 year. It's not, I'm not talking about his college career. That is 1 year, 60 touchdowns.
That's not okay.
That's not okay, and that's not going to happen in the NFL. I'm not saying that, but he does have good weapons. Even if AJ Green sits or doesn't, you know, sign back with the Bengals, we now get to put in T. Higgins.
Franchise tags, so it's either it's Bengals or bust.
Yeah,
like there's no real option for AJ Green. But let me postulate for a minute.
Okay.
So let's imagine a world where Joe Burrow comes into the Cincinnati Bengals offense. They've improved their offensive line just enough. They utilize the run game. They utilize Joe Mixon. They're more efficient as an offense. That could make your passing attempts go down. So if you're not playing catch up the whole game.
Do you think their defense got any better?
No.
Okay. So they probably are still going to be
playing catch up. But I think their offense got better, which can definitely mean offensive efficiency.
Yeah, and it can mean your defense efficiency is better too. You're not as tired. You're not on the field all the time. They could just get better right off of that.
So that's my only counter argument to like the Zac Taylor pass heavy scheme.
Yeah, and I'm just skeptical too because we haven't seen rookie quarterbacks just like come out and kill it. There is no rookie quarterback that's thrown more than 25 touchdowns besides one, Baker Mayfield at 27 touchdowns.
And he was the worst for fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, last year, but his rookie season, he wasn't so bad. But
he wasn't great.
Yeah. No, you're not going to be if you only throw 27 touchdowns and however many yards he had. And then when you look at since 2010, only three rookie quarterbacks have thrown for over 3,900 yards. You have Cam Newton at 4,051, 21 touchdowns. Winston at 4,042, 22 touchdowns. And Luck at 4,374, 23 touchdowns. Now, those aren't, like, great fantasy seasons.
Can we talk about the fact that all of these guys are not in a starting role right now?
That's kind of wild. That's kind of wild. Newton and Luck is not so much their fault. Winston just couldn't stop throwing interceptions.
He needed LASIK.
Now, all of these quarterbacks to bring up, though, did throw a lot of interceptions in year one. So that even hurts them more. Newton had the rushing abilities to have give you that floor. Burrow doesn't, he can run.
He's
like
mobile.
He's mobile,
yeah.
But he's not going to give you like 400 rushing yards to give you that safe
floor. It's not his signature is to run.
It's going to be really hard to trust him as a rookie. So in redraft, I'm probably not going to draft him. You can get so many good quarterbacks late. I would rather a Ben Roethlisberger in 2020 and you can get him late. I'd rather a Matthew Stafford. You can get him late. Joe Burrow is probably going to get hype and he's going to be going around those guys. I'm going to take the vet. Let someone else take the rookie and risk it. Like, it could work out for you, but I'm not going to risk it.
Yeah.
And Dynasty, yes, I love him as a quarterback, especially in, like, a super flex league.
Sure, I'll take him over a 40-year-old man. But, yeah. Like, I just, in terms of production for 2020, I think you hit the nail on the head there. How about Tua? So Tua is an interesting one because we don't really know what to expect from him in the 2020 NFL season. We know that Ryan Fitzpatrick is still there in Miami. What, like, do they give Tua another year to sit? He had this devastating hip injury, which has seemed to be very on schedule. He looks great. He's running well. He's throwing well. But, like, what do you do with this guy in terms of throwing him into the NFL?
Yeah.
The issue is
if he gets thrown in and he gets hurt, someone's getting fired or multiple people are getting fired. This is your franchise. And if you don't think you have a possibility to contend this year, I don't really get the reason to start him. Now, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is all over the place, right? Like, he could be the great Ryan Fitzpatrick and keep Tua on the bench. He can be a garbage Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing interception.
Which is great for your draft capital.
Yeah, throwing interception and interception. And then the team feels pressured to put Tua in because of fan base. And we'll see what happens. But I don't think he starts unless he really has to. Josh Rosen's still there.
Oh, my God. I forgot about Josh Rosen.
But one thing we really want to think about, he was only sacked 10 times in 2019. That was the least in the FBS. And then only pressured 22% of his dropbacks. So it's not like he was escaping pressure and that's why he wasn't sacked. He only pressured 22% of dropbacks. That's the sixth least in the FBS. So now you're going to put him behind the Miami Dolphins line And I know they just drafted some guys, but how great are they going to be year one altogether?
Especially when you're missing part of that off-season program. You're not getting that same training that you usually should.
That is really risky to put him back there, to make him be running for his life, unless you really know your line is so solid and they're going to protect him. That's risky. And if he's not being drafted in a redraft, that would just be stupid because you don't even know if he's going to play. And then in Dynasty, if people are taking him at the 102 in Superflex leagues and one quarterback leagues, he's going in the second round. Like, let me go trade Tua, or let me go trade that pick for like a Jared Goff, guy that people are down on, but we know will produce. And how do you know Tua's ceiling is any higher than Jared Goff?
You really don't. And I just think there's so many question marks because we don't even know if Miami's going to get it together. They had a very nice draft, but you really have no concept of what they are doing in terms of a long-term plan. So they at running back, they've got
Bereda and Howard, which is like I feel like all of their playmakers are fine. Like I really like Devontae Parker, but
fine is the worst word in the English language.
But for a wide receiver one, he's fine. I really like him, but for a wide receiver one, he's fine. Preston Williams, yes, he's shown flashes, but like
he's still heading into his sophomore season. Yeah. Like, we have no idea.
And what was he? Undrafted? He was undrafted, right?
Yeah, Dante Pettis showed flashes in his rookie season. I think that we're putting a lot of stock in the fact that they're going to be a better offense when we literally have no idea. They didn't draft any wide receivers, which is absolutely insane.
And I think the biggest thing we need to remember, like, these wide receivers look good with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who can make any wide receiver look good. When he's on, he can make any wide receiver look good. So let's just be skeptical there. I do really like Mike Gesicki, but at the same time, he didn't show a lot of ability to break any tackles or get any yards after catch. And that's kind of what Tua relied on heavily in college. We both really think Burrow is well ahead of Tua in talent.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people disagree with us. People say Tua would have been the first quarterback drafted if it wasn't for his injury. And I don't really understand that.
I think it mostly probably has to do with just the consistency in production. I think Tua was just a little bit more consistent. Joe Burrow just sort of came out of nowhere. It's very hard to trust the person that comes out of nowhere to just throw 60 touchdowns. Like, it's unbelievable.
But Tua played with four first-round talents at the wide receiver position.
Is it the chicken or the egg?
And then also a first-round talent and a running back, Najee Harris. He will, with running backs going a little bit later, he's the latest in mid-second round pick. He had so much talent around him, and he passed short a lot and let his wide receivers do all the work after the catch. I think I just calculated this today. Don't hold me to it, but it was like 69.9. So 70% of his passes completed were either negative yards or up to 10. Like, that's how far he threw it away. So negative to 10 yards.
Yeah.
That's like really short. And then all your guys are doing the work afterwards. Are these playmakers he's going to have in Miami, are they going to be able to do that? And that's what scares me.
Yeah, I definitely think he's got talented pieces there. I just don't know if they're talented enough to carry the load. Like, Mike Gesicki, he is like one of everybody's favorite late-round tight ends at this point. And when we're looking at him, he ran, what was it, the third most routes among all tight ends in all of football.
Yeah.
And what did he do? He didn't do anything.
That should have been his breakout, but he did have issues with... He had zero forced missed tackles. And I think only him...
That's like Mike Evans level.
No, but he actually had some. It was him and Jason Witten that had zero forced missed tackles after the catch. Not great. I am really excited for Mike Gesicki. I think he's in a prime spot. That's also for another podcast. We like to get off topic. Now, Tua, I think we can both agree, is probably our favorite person in this draft. Like, I am rooting for him.
Oh, my God.
I'm rooting for this kid so hard. He has an awesome personality. I don't see the talent as strong as others do. I do think he can be a productive NFL quarterback in this league. I just don't know about fantasy-wise if he throws it deep enough. I think he's going to be that short, average depth of target guy. And that typically is not good for fantasy.
Well, and I don't think... You know, I feel like the majority of people, when they hear that we're not necessarily high on Tua, they hear that, you know, like, we're looking at this from a fantasy perspective. We're not looking at this from a true NFL talent, because Tom Brady, even when he wasn't fantasy relevant, which he was a lot of the time, was still the best quarterback of all time.
I compared Tua to Derek Carr, and I don't think that's a bad comparison.
Derek Carr's
been in the league for how long now? Like, if
he won't go away.
If Tua's career is that long, that's a good career.
Yeah.
Obviously, you want more from that, but Derek Carr has kept his job, but guess what? He hasn't been good for fantasy. And that's just kind of how I see Tua there, but maybe I'm wrong. And in Dynasty, if you want to take a shot on him, fine. Redraft, we're not looking at him, but I think that's pretty obvious. Justin Herbert, last one. With the Chargers, this is a prime spot for a rookie quarterback to go in. Your competition's Tyrod Taylor. That's not a thing. He's not it. And maybe they don't have to worry about tickets this year because fans won't be going to games. But if you ever want to sell tickets again in the future, you can't put Tyrod Taylor out
Justin
there.
Justin Herbert is the more exciting guy.
Yeah. I don't even care if he's throwing up interceptions. Like, he's still the more exciting guy. No one wants to go to a game and be like, Tyrod Taylor, yeah.
No, nobody.
And Tyrod, I can't imagine he wins too many games. If he does, it's going to be those 7 to 8 games, which is the worst for a team.
I think he's well-liked by the organization, so that could be a problem in terms of Justin Herbert actually getting on the field. But I don't think that he is going to have a very long leash in terms, like,
the last
I think
time we saw Tyrod Taylor play was in Cleveland, and
that
he
is
was
exactly
so incredibly bad. He was so bad he couldn't even get a yard against the Jets.
But
in
what
that
was
week three?
It was week three, and they utilized that excuse. Did he get a concussion or?
No,
a hand
he hurt
injury?
His hand injury. Yeah.
Yeah, and but everybody was thinking before that, like, good God, when are they going to put this guy out of his misery?
Yeah.
Like,
and as soon as Baker came in, they came back. They won the game. He could actually move the ball. There was a complete difference in talent there. Tyrod Taylor's not it, so I do think Justin Herbert steals the job by week three, five. Six, like by midseason for sure.
My bet would be week three.
My bet would be week three too. And now we're not like in love with Herbert's talent. He has a lot of flaws. But the one thing he does have, he has a really strong arm. So, and he likes to throw it deep. And he's a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, that's all So I will say in terms of Justin Herbert, I'm just not. We talked about Tua, like how he could have this long career in the NFL, even if he's not super productive for fantasy. Don't really see that for Justin Herbert. And maybe I'm totally missing on the kid. I see a lot of mistakes. I see a lot of athleticism, but he's very raw.
He is very raw, but you know what's nice is to be raw and have Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Hunter Henry and Austin Eckler and now rookies KJ Hill and Joshua Kelly. Like, he has so many playmakers around him. A really solid defense where he's not going to be asked to do too much. I really like this landing spot for any quarterback, and I would rather take Justin Herbert than Tua in fantasy.
I did that in one of my rookie drafts this year, and I caught some heat. But you know what? I do think that Herbert definitely has a bigger chance for fantasy relevance a lot sooner than I'm going to project for Tua.
You know who also went late in rookie drafts because everyone made fun of the selections over the last 2 years was Josh Allen to Buffalo in 2017 or 2018, and then Daniel Jones to the Giants in 2019. Both of those guys were raw coming out of school. Both guys have very big arms. Both guys are mobile. Now Allen's by far the most mobile out of this group, but I do think Justin Herbert could be that Daniel Jones guy where he's not going to be consistent. He's going to make a lot of mistakes, turn over the ball a lot. But
the boom is high.
The boom is high, and I do think when he starts, he's going to have some of those games where you're like, oh my God, he just scored 30 points for me. Like, how? And then the next game, you're like, oh my God, he just scored negative 10 points for me. How?
How?
Yeah, I do think he's boom or bust, but if I'm going to take a shot on one of these rookies other than Joe Burrow, it would be Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
And you're not going to draft him a dream draft again because Tyrod Taylor should be starting the season. You're never going to take a quarterback that's not starting. But in redraft, in Dynasty, he's my second quarterback.
Yikes.
Why?
Because everybody just
second
stopped.
Quarterback's out of rookies.
No, I know. I just heard everybody listening to our podcast leave, so.
Well, good, because we're done. We just finished up this class. We're going to start moving on to vets now. We need to get out of these rookies. We need to start talking about vets. So we're going to be all vets next week.
All vets, all the time. Not all the time. Most of the time. Let's head out here. I think we've done enough rookie talk. Thank you guys for being patient for this podcast while I worked on the Fantasy Football Black Book. So excited about that.
When's it come out?
June 1st, baby.
June 1st.
Stay tuned. You can get it on Amazon. I'll be tweeting out the link to that. Super, super excited. Happy to represent some ladies out there in the fantasy community.
That is awesome.
So excited. Again, I'm Kate. You can find me on Twitter at FFBallBlast.
And I'm Michelle. You can find me at BallBlast. And then go to our BallBlastFootball.com page. Go read our articles that we post. And we're hiring two writers.
We're very excited about that.
We're about to tell them shortly. We just went through all of the applications. And
butterflies.
Yeah, we found two great ones. I mean, there were so many good ones, but we found two.
We've been going through applications for the last week.
We're going to be
reading them and rereading them and rereading them.
We're going to be having articles come out a lot. A lot, because we're going to be writing separately, and then we're going to have those guys or gals write as well.
Yeah, super excited. Cannot wait. Don't forget to check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast Network, which we are a proud member to be a part of.
All right.
Everybody, have a great week.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.